Psalm 11, verse 1. Let's read together the Lord's word. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak on this Canada Day. It's a great day to be Canadian, and we have to thank our God for all the blessings of living in this land that has a rich gospel, Christian heritage, and a land of liberties and freedom. There's a reason why millions of people want to come to Canada. If you're an immigrant, I'm sure you will be counting your blessings today. And of course, if you were born here in this land, you'll be thankful for your heritage in this nation. Sadly, things are not in good shape morally and biblically in this nation. There is a downgrade, a turning away from the things of God, and an openness to all kinds of sin. But our prayer is that where sin abounds, grace shall much more abound. And our key text for today is, when the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Praise God, there are things that we can do. And I hope that today, through this message, that you will be challenged and that you will be energized to be a living witness in this land of Canada. We have opportunities, we have freedoms, liberties, and I trust that we will not just go back resting on our laurels, but that we will use every opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel. This is Ian Gallagher, glad to be on the air again, as we are, 5 a.m., 5 p.m. each day through the week, Monday to Friday, and I trust that you will be a regular listener with us as we open the book and preach the message of the gospel. Now, get your Bible to Psalm 11, and we're looking up that verse 3 as we let the Bible speak on this Canada Day. We're turning back to Psalm 11. Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This question is really irrelevant to our beloved land of Canada at this time. Nearly every day in our newspapers, on radio, whatever other ways of getting news you may have, we are learning of the foundations of truth, morality, righteousness being shredded by parliament, courts, at every level of government. And this is not the Canadian life that the Charter Fathers of Confederation saw in 1967, at the time of Confederation. At that time, church attendance was very high. Sabbath keeping was across the board. You could hardly have found any major store open for trading on the Lord's Day. 152 years ago,
most Canadians could have recited the Ten Commandments. Try that with your neighbor today. Try that with some professing Christians. The Ten Commandments, which is the bedrock of morality and principles of life, are greatly, greatly lost. Now, I want to dig a little deeper here in my introduction, and I'm not going to make this my sermon, but there are a few facts about Canada that we need to grasp to understand where we've come from and to understand where we are going. Canada was founded on British common law, as were most British colonies. That was a profound blessing under the rule of Britain. British civil law, property law, fostered accountability and worked to lift nations out of cycles of darkness and poverty. Wherever British law was instituted and people were called to account to that law, it always lifted and raised the bar to how people lived, how they prospered, and of course, it became a great help to bringing the message of the gospel. And because British law was based on what we call precedent law, that is, this case is going to be paralleled with the previous case and prior cases. And over time, there was a body of law that really bore the thinking, the warp and woof of society. Now, as you think of the days of the Puritans, now you're going back to the 1600s, days of Oliver Cromwell, days when the Westminster Confession of Faith was written, that great attempt to make Great Britain truly Presbyterian, when there was church attendance was mandatory. If you were a British citizen and you didn't go to a house of worship on God's day, you were breaking the law. Those Puritans, they changed the very moral thinking of multitudes of people. Then 100 years later into the 1700s, you had the evangelical awakenings under the Wesley brothers and George Whitefield. When France was headed for revolution, England enjoyed revival. Then in the 1800s, you had the days of Queen Victoria. When asked the secret of Britain's greatness, her reply was the Bible. And so you can understand that in the institutions of Britain, in the court systems, in government, in education, the Bible was very much the very bedrock of society. It was read in public. It was used in schools. And even in government decisions, the Bible was quoted. And as I mentioned, it became the handmaid of missionary work. There was a sympathy, an encouraging spirit to those who would go out into new parts of the world and take the message of the gospel. And so Canada, being founded on British law, had a strong foundation in Christianity. Its ethos built up the very values and the deterrence of Christian thinking. And that continued for about 100 years, from 1867 right into the 1960s. And then we had the government of Pierre Elliott Trudeau, and he sought to secularize Canadian society. He did so by a Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And much of the real power of Canada switched from its government and parliament to the court system. And according to the values and the thinking of judges, the great decisions and changes in law in this country took place. One of them was in 1988, the case of R versus Morgenthaler. Now, R stands for Regina, that's the Queen. That was the name of the case, R versus Morgenthaler. And of course, Morgenthaler was promoting abortion. And at that time, Canadian judges struck down the existing laws on abortion. And that gave rise to the open free abortion in our nation. Also in 1988, Alberta's restrictions protecting homosexuality, those existing laws were struck down. In 2004, the Supreme Court also changed the definition of marriage from the union of one man and one woman. And that was the law that enshrined the whole sexual revolution of the 1960s. What we are reaping today is the result of these deliberate and careful maneuvers of powers and authority to turn this land away from God. Now, of more recent times, the British Parliament, and I don't want to apologize, but I want to explain why I must dig a little bit into these developments in various systems of law. Going back to the 1980s, the British Parliament surrendered to the European law and their system of European Bill of Rights. And that switched from a Bible-based legal system to more of the French secular system. Now, French law goes way back to Napoleon Bonaparte. It was based on revolution and rebellion, not only to civil authority, but to God. And it enshrined secularism as the rule of law. Since the British Parliament moved to European values, that changed Britain as well. And of course, it is like the domino effect. One value, one law after another topples until we are where we are. On this 152nd birthday, this nation is on the wide open road to secularism. And as Jeremiah said, and the people love to have it so. There is a relishing of what men call their liberties and their freedoms to live as they please. And so this Psalm 11, verse 3, this question that comes up, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This becomes a great question to us today. What shall the righteous do? And I want to lay out just a few pointers of what we as the people of God must do in this age of secularism, of tremendous pressure upon the Christian, whether it's the individual Christian living, working, seeking to get through life in this land, or whether it is the witness of the Christian church seeking to stand up for Jesus in a society where people are hell-bent to their own destruction. What shall the righteous do? Well, if you look at this text, I want you to see firstly that we should rejoice that we are the righteous. What shall the righteous do? Praise God, there still are the righteous. There still is a remnant. There still are the people of God, who those who have not chosen the way of secularism, the way of sinful pleasure. We have to say today, there go I, but for the grace of God. That would be me. I would be equally blind, equally darkened in mind, equally plummeted into the paths of sin, if it was not for the grace of God and for the righteousness that we have come to enjoy through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now we're speaking about two things, uprightness and the enjoyment of the salvation, the righteousness that the Lord Jesus gives to us. We are not here today to boast that we are better. We are not seeking to proclaim to be self-righteous. We despise that hypocrisy. There is no righteousness in ourselves. From the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, we are sinners. and we are given to the same plague of sin as any other man or woman, whatever lifestyle they choose. There go I, but for the grace of God. But in God's mercy, we have come to understand what the gospel can do for a sinner. And we have come to walk in the peace and the blessedness of enjoying the righteousness of the Lord Jesus imputed to us and to our account. Now you'll notice in verse 5, it says, the Lord trieth the righteous. The word trieth there simply means tests. God allows the pressures of the ungodly to squeeze us into a fuller, deeper, and a more personal confession of faith. If you're a Christian, you're going to be tried. If you are a child of God, you will not for long be a secret disciple. In this world, evil men, the wicked of this world, who choose the ways of sin, will beg you to join them. They will want you to be part of their lifestyle. The buzzword today is to be an ally of their perverted lifestyle. If you are not choosing to walk and live in that lifestyle, at least embrace it, encourage it, and be an ally to support it. But Christians are tested and tried. And the Lord puts us into the crucible as the petals of the rose, that we may be squeezed and that the perfume of our faith be discovered by others. Others will know by our godly living that we have been with Jesus. Peter talked about going through the fire that we may come forth as gold. And we have to acknowledge that in our day, there is a price to pay as a Christian. There's a crucible to endure. There is a vilification by the world. It may not be the point of a sword, but it will be at the point of a tongue. It may not be that open hostility, but it might be that underlying sneering that seeks to undermine the godly life of the child of God. Maybe you've been feeling that. Maybe of recent, the devil has come to discourage your heart, to drag you down from shining for the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you that question. Are you shining for Jesus? The Lord trieth the righteous. But praise God, we are the righteous, and that we're not living in that way. Now, if you go on down to the end of the psalm, it says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. The upright, the righteous, the people of God, who walk with the Lord in the light of his word, they have God's smile, God's blessing. And that's what we're aiming for. We must daily have God's blessing. Therefore, we cannot lower the standard. We cannot allow our own hearts and minds to be attuned to tolerate and to lower our guard against the powers of evil. And there is a great attempt today to normalize really perverted lifestyles, to make that just, what's the big problem? Why is that not acceptable? And that pressure is all around us. So what can the righteous do? Well, we must rejoice in our own salvation. It is a mighty miracle that you and I are Christians today. It's a mighty miracle that we are the children of God, and that we love righteousness, and we have the smile of God's favor upon our lives, while the wicked are headed for destruction. And as the world reveals its inner depravity of the human heart in a deeper and a viler way, parading their sin in public, we have to humbly bow our hearts and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, that you would count me as one of the righteous, not going the way of the lost. Now, remember also, we're going to move to heading number 2 now. And for those that are taking notes, number 1 was we should thank God that we are the righteous. Number two, remember that our faith is built on immovable foundations. They're unshakable. Remember the unchanging nature of God. If you look at verse 4, it says, as if in response and in answer to the question, the Lord is in his holy temple. While the foundations of a nation may be threatened, our God is still the same. The Lord is in his holy temple. He's on the throne. He's ruling. He's reigning. He is invincible. Or as Psalm 2 puts it, he that sitteth upon the heavens shall laugh at the wicked. This is not changing God. This is not troubling God one iota. And yet, little ant-like man shakes his defiant fist at the Almighty Creator, and God just laughs it off. It's laughable that man wants to be his own God to rule his own way. God is eternal. Man is a vapor. We are just little creatures who notch up a little dot on the great clock of eternity. But God remains absolutely the same. So what can the righteous do? Go study God. Remember who your Creator is. Remember that he's on the throne. Remember that he's all-powerful. And he's eternal, unchangeable. That will fix your heart. Then also remember the inspiration and the preservation of the Bible as the Word of God. We have in our hands an infallible book, and the Word of the Lord abideth forever. And no matter what changes in society, no matter what laws are changed in Ottawa, whether it's in the Senate, the House of Commons, or whether it's in the Supreme Court, whatever laws man may make, the Word of God standeth sure, and his law is still to be our delight. It is the true foundation for all our beliefs. And God has spoken. We receive it and we believe it. This book is unchanging and it is stored forever.
Thank you.
On this Canada Day, I want to wish you the Lord's blessing, and I hope that today's message will move us all to be men and women of prayer, to pray for our nation. Let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus into your holy presence, and we thank thee for our country. We thank thee for the land that you have given us as our home, our place of service, our place of provision and of worship. And we thank thee for all the liberties and freedoms that we have to do this. We ask that you will have mercy upon this nation. We pray for our leaders, for those in political authority, for those who are our health guides at this time. O Lord, give grace and wisdom. And remember those who are ministering to the sick in this time of pandemic, that you will protect the doctors, nurses, and remember those that are ill and battling for their lives. We pray for family who have been bereaved, for the sorrowing, for the comfort of the Lord to their hearts, and that they may come to know our Lord Jesus and find everlasting life in him. We know that one day this world shall burn up, it shall be gone, and only what's done for Jesus will last. And so I pray that you will enable us to serve thee and to glorify thy name. O Lord, come, bless us for Jesus' sake. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.